The addictive roguelike game Balatro has become one of the biggest hits of the year, mixing elements of poker and solitaire into a fiendish experience. And now my life is ruined because it's coming to mobile thanks to Apple Arcade. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade. And you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only. $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.
sifter.com.au.
Hi, I'm Fiona Bartholomaeus.
And I'm Naomi Jackson.
Welcome to Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly recap on the biggest news in video games.
This week, Nintendo Direct celebrates the 40th anniversary of Mario and more. The Australian Game Developer Awards finalists are here, and a weird story with old dev kits being seized by cops after a Sega clear-out. Here's the news for Sunday, the 14th of September. Let's go!
Join the Sifter community on Discord at sifter.com.au/Discord.
The hour-long Nintendo Direct on Friday was packed with some amazing announcements as Nintendo celebrated 40 years of Mario. To celebrate, they also announced a re-release of the Wii titles Super Mario Galaxy and Mario Galaxy 2 in a bundle for the Switch. The bundle will include new storybook pages, which means maybe new lore? Wahoo!
A new Mario Tennis game called Mario Tennis Fever was also announced, and you play with 30 new Fever rackets with different powers, like the Ice Racket or the Mini Mushroom Racket. The new game has 38 playable characters, the most in Mario history, as well as new baby adventure mode, where Mario and his friends have been turned into babies and they don't remember how to play tennis. This is the first time we've also ever seen a baby Waluigi.
There was also a bunch of Pokemon news at this Direct, including a new Pokemon game called Pokopia. In Pokopia, you play as a Ditto and you use other Pokemon's abilities to craft and maintain your town, kind of like Minecraft or Animal Crossing. Also announced, even though the game hasn't been released yet, is paid DLC for Pokemon Legends ZA called Mega Dimension.
Hades 2, which has been in early access for about a year now, gets its full release in 2 weeks. You can kill time on the 25th of September. It's coming first to Switch and Switch 2 if you're a console player, but will also be out on PC on the same day. Death to Kronos, and prepare yourself, Kyle, for a wealth of sexy fan art.
We could go through all the announcements for ages. Other announcements include some new DLC for Donkey Kong Bonanza called DK Island and Emerald Rush, which is out now. A Switch 2 edition of Mario Wonder with new content called Mario Wonder Nintendo Switch 2 Edition plus meetup in Belabel Park. A new Yoshi game called Yoshi and the Mysterious Book, where you discover different creatures in a storybook and figure out their weird powers. A new Tamagotchi Life game called Tamagotchi Life Living the Dream, where you can muck with Miis just like in the original. And there was even Aussie representation. Dinkum, an Aussie life sim, is coming to Nintendo Switch. Check out the show notes for more.
Kick it in the guts, Barry.
The Australian Game Developer Award finalists have been announced for this year, and we really have some amazing talent here in Oz. The Drifter by Powerhoof cleaned up the nominations this year, being named a finalist in 6 out of the 12 categories, including Game of the Year, Excellence in Narrative, and Excellence in Sound Design. The cute puzzle game Tempopo by Witchbeam was nominated for 3 different categories, same as the narrative-driven game Copycat by Spoonful of Wonder.
For the Excellence in Debut category, we have Western Australian game Misk, A Tiny Tale by Tinyware Games. I loved that game. Starship Home by Creature and Proximate by Kane Maddox, which was also a finalist in 4 other categories. Unsurprisingly, Cult of the Lamb made an appearance in the Excellence in Ongoing category alongside Risk, Global Domination by SMG Studio, and also Crossy Road by Hipster Whale appeared. So many great Aussie games. You can check out the full list of finalists in our show notes. Bina sans mi mani set, dana fan sur le bon. Since Hollow Knight Silksong came out last week, players have been spending hours trying to unlock all of the secrets, and now they've found Silksong's Konami code. It's a slight variation to the classic Konami code, and it unlocks the Steel Soul mode, which is the game's version of a permadeath mode. So if you die, that's it. No return to your previous save, you have to start all over again.
To get to this special mode, open up Silksong's extras option in the menu, then input up, down, left, right. A brief noise and flash will appear on the extras screen to let you know if it's been accepted, and then go make a new save file and it'll give you the Steel Soul option. It has been found that if you die, you actually have to clear that failed run save file to be able to start again. Oh dear for all of you who will have to do that multiple times, but I bet some of you are excited for the challenge.
However, since the release of the game, it hasn't been all good news. The game has been review bombed in China. Fans have left a lot of mixed reviews because of issues with the game's simplified Chinese translation, saying that the translations are really low quality, ruin the gaming experience, and don't convey the right tone.
Team Cherry has since released a statement on social media saying they appreciate the feedback about the translations and they'll be working to improve it over the coming week.
Gabriella, she killed them both. She's not a prize to be won.
Sega is in a bit of hot water this week after allegations of them using the police to recover Nintendo dev kits it had negligently disposed of. Early this year, it was reported that not-for-profit preservation group Video Game Preservation Museum were fundraising to save a collection of undumped GBA, DS, DSi, and 3DS games that were at risk of falling into the hands of private collectors. The seller, who obtained the collection as part of his business of reselling used electronics bought from office clearances, house clearances, and recycling centres, said that they came across this selection when they visited a scrapyard, and there was a van loaded with items that had reportedly come from Sega's office clearance. He paid about £10,000 for it all, so about $20,000 Australian. However, in July, about 3 months after the purchase, it was reported that the seller of this collection was raided by the British police and the haul was seized.
According to news site Time Extension, the rumour that Sega was involved with what happened is apparently true. The seller claims about a month before the raid, a private investigator, which was later revealed to be acting on behalf of Sega, approached him pretending to be a prospective buyer, and then he was raided in July. After being arrested, interviewed, and released under investigation, the seller claims that Sega had been silent throughout this process, despite sending him multiple formal legal letters. The seller also received a formal disclaimer request, which effectively asked him to give back the dev kit consoles. He noted that if they were stolen, then legal title would have remained with Sega from the beginning, and there would be nothing to disclaim.
Technically, the 3DS and DS development kits don't even belong to Sega. They are always the property of the original hardware manufacturer, so Nintendo, and they have very strict rules about obtaining and returning them after they finish being used. It's an ongoing situation, so if you do want to find out more, you can read about it in our show notes. That's it for the headlines. Here are the games coming out this week.
Out on the 15th is the highly anticipated Little Witch in the Woods. It changed its release date to make way for Silksong, but it's finally here and you get to play as Ellie, an apprentice witch. Explore the mystical forest, help out residents, and experience the daily life of the witch. That's out on Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and PC on Monday.
Also out on Monday is LEGO Voyages, a co-op puzzle platform game where you experience what it feels like to be a LEGO brick. Tumble, jump, and snap together to build your way through a brick world. You can grab it when it arrives on Nintendo Switch and Switch 2, PlayStation 4 and 5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC on the 15th.
Puzzle game Synthetic Hopes is out on the 16th, and it has a pretty cool pixel art style. You play as an enslaved android with a shot at freedom in a dystopian cyberpunk setting, using some unique game mechanics and platforming to learn the ways of the world and escape. That's out on PC on Tuesday.
Voyages of Nera is also out on the 16th. It's a stunning co-op survival crafting game where you must survive a magical ocean world full of lost spirits and deadly monsters. Sail to distant islands, build beautiful villages, and surf across the waves with up to 10 players. That's heading to PC on Tuesday.
Goblin Cleanup is a cooperative dungeon cleaner. Once the adventurers have been victorious, it's your job to set the dungeon back up again for the next party of heroes. There's a little bit of Power Wash Simulator here, but with some danger as well. It's a cool multiplayer game for up to four friends, and you can find that on PC on the 18th.
And one for Mitch this week, Jump Space, formerly known as Jump Ship. It's a bit like Sea of Thieves in a spaceship with first-person shooter and spaceship-based gameplay. It looks really cleverly put together. What an absolutely cool idea. That's a game for you and three mates, so pick that one up on PC and Xbox Series X on the 19th.
Articles to read,
videos to watch,
and podcasts to listen to.
Sifter.com.au.
This has been Walkthrough by Sifter. My name's Naomi Jackson.
And my name is Fiona Bartholomeus. Thank you so much for listening.
The crew this week are heading out to Pixel Expo in WA. So make sure you head over to our Instagram, which is at SifterHQ, as Mitch takes to the show floor. Speaking of conventions, it's not too long until PAX Australia, Melbourne International Games Week, and the whole crew will be out there for that. So if you see us in our Sifter shirts, make sure you come and say hi, or find everything we're doing at SifterHQ on socials or on our website at sifter.com.au.
Sifter is produced by myself, Nom, Kat Jan, Carl Paletto, Adam Christou and Chris Button. Mitch Lowe is senior producer and Gianni Di Giovanni is Sifter's executive producer and script editor.
Thanks to Brian Fairbanks from Salty Dog Sounds for composing the Walkthrough theme tune, and Audio Technica Australia and Apple for their support of Sifter's podcasts.
We'll be back with more news next Sunday. See you then.
Hey there, Gianni here on the latest episode of Lightmap Sifter's interview podcast. Dave Lloyd from Melbourne's Power Hoof joins us to share The Drifter, a stylish point-and-click adventure game with some stunning pixel art inspired by pulpy thrillers.
I think I'll always be making adventure games because it's kind of where I came from as a developer as well. Draw this flow chart of like, okay, they're going to need to pick up a screwdriver from somewhere. Where could that be? And they've got to have that before they can do this next bit where they need the screwdriver. So, you know, kind of, and then trying to distill that into sort of almost a walkthrough slash to-do list of what has to go in the game. And every character's suddenly got to have a bit of an arc, and they've got to be multiple subplots for it to hold together. And oh man, I did my head in trying to work it all out.
You can get every episode of Lightmap for free on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on YouTube. You can head to our website, sifter.com.au, or find it wherever you like to listen to podcasts.